Welcome back to Farm Talk. News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is 33 past. It is time now to bring in our friend Scott Sinner from SB&B Foods, who actually just got back from another trip to Japan. And boy, you know, my son recently just went to Japan. I think he got back just a couple of weeks ago, Scott. That's quite a flight, first of all. That's not for the weary.
It's not that bad. It's a direct flight from Minneapolis to Tokyo, which is nice. I mean, it's long. I mean, I am forever amazed at the people that can sit on a 10, 11, 12-hour flight and not get up one single time. I don't know how that's even possible, but there's people that do. I certainly don't, but there's people that do it.
He, for whatever reason, I forget what destination he ended up flying out of, but he went like almost, I don't want to say he went over the pole, but they went up kind of by Alaska and then came down that way. It was kind of a weird jaunt.
Yeah.
Have you gone that way before? I was like, why would you go way up there?
That's always the way you go.
Really?
They follow the curvature of the earth, so that's the shortest route.
So you learn something all the time. Now, here's the other thing, and I was talking to you a little bit. I was trying to get some food recommendations beforehand, but unless you've ever been over to Japan, it's like its own world over there. Really, I think it's got really good food. You just have to find it. There's food places all over. I didn't realize how inexpensive it is, by the way. The dollar goes a long ways over there. That's one thing I learned. But my son, who is an honor student, by the way, got kicked out of a restaurant. Asked to leave.
I don't know how that's even possible.
Well, here's the
thing. That's funny.
He put that up on his stream, and it was like, yeah, I got kicked out of a restaurant. I was like, here's a kid that's never done hardly anything. He hasn't even drank before, you know, that I'm aware of. But anyway, they have all those food markets and food places down there, and him and his buddies split up. And so just to let you know, it makes sense in the end. He went to one stand, and his two friends went to the other. And so they sat down to eat at the other place, and he came with his food over there, and they kicked him out. I was like, well, dude, you can't, like, go to a restaurant here and bring your food into another restaurant. So it made sense in the end. But, wow.
That does make sense. And little known fact, but Japan has about 850,000 restaurants.
Oh, my gosh.
So there are literally restaurants everywhere.
And is a lot of the food fried there? Is that kind of the sense you get, or no?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, sushi is obviously a major part of their diet, but there's a lot of tempura and a lot of, a lot of hot pot type stuff, which is either water or oil, just depending on what kind of food you're eating. So, yeah.
Well, I'll say it. The ramen places, I guess, in the U.S. are comparable to the ones over there. He said they didn't really find anything that was too crazy. Although sounds like you found a few really good food places. And that was that like the hot pot place. Is that where you ate that beef, that Wagyu beef from? Was that kind of the place?
Yeah. It's called, well, it's similar to hot pot. It's called sukiyaki. So it was the first time I've ever had it, actually, and it's, really thinly sliced Wagyu beef or really thinly sliced black pork, super tender. They have a mixture of, like, soy sauce and sugar that they kind of, an oil mixture or a sauce mixture that they cook the, they have a pot right in the middle of the table. They cook the meat right in front of you, and then you pick it up with your chopsticks and you dip it in raw egg, which I had a little bit of a hard time.
Really?
You know, like, what could possibly go wrong eating raw egg, right? But dip it in the raw egg and then you eat it. And it tasted good. I just had a hard time with the raw egg.
Well, here's the other part of that. Eating raw egg in a foreign country. So if something goes wrong, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, glad to hear it was good. Well, you know, probably thousands, 100,000 of people have eaten that. So you were there, I'm assuming, entertaining customers or just for fun? Or what were you doing over there?
Yep. No, this is my last trip for the winter. So we were down meeting with a bunch of customers. And actually, it was really neat. I had not been to this customer before, they've been a customer of ours. It's actually the very first customer that we ever started working with back in 1990.
Oh, gosh.
So I had the opportunity to meet them, and So this customer usually goes through one of our other customers. So I just haven't ever been to their factory. And so it was really cool to sit and chat. And his dad was the one that first started, you know, his son is now running the company. And so, you know, we kind of sat and reminisced a little bit about our fathers and what they did back in 1990 and how it was so much different than business today. And it was pretty neat.
That whole culture though, and families and traditions, they follow a little bit. I think they're much more about following traditions there. Would I be wrong on that? I think they, you know, it's your father does, the sons usually kind of follow that whole line. So it's pretty, very interesting if you ever get a chance to kind of study on that. All right, I got to switch gears here because I got to find out. It's been a little while since I've talked to you. So I'm assuming we're planting soybeans, or you've been planting soybeans, or have you not? Has it been too wet yet?
Yeah, it's still a little bit cold. We've got a couple guys that have a little bit in the ground, but for the most part, it's not quite yet. I mean, most guys are still working on corn and small grains, you know, and this rain was pretty nice. I mean, certainly there was a couple of areas that got a little too much, obviously, but we need some moisture. And, you know, the last few years, if there's anything these wet maids have taught us, it's how quick we can get our crop in the ground. You know, it's certainly still the end of April, so we've got plenty of time. Forecast looks good, and so I think once things start warming up and drying out here, that you'll really see some movement out in the fields, whether it's corn or wheat or soybeans, maybe all of the above at the same time. So I think everybody's looking forward to this window. It looks like we might have coming on some weather, and you'll certainly see some tractors out there.
Well, this weekend looks like it's going to be really nice. Temperatures into the 70s, I think Saturday and Sunday for sure. But we're not done with the rain yet this week. And I don't know how much more rain we really want. Gosh, a lot of areas got that inch or two. Are you basically around the Castleton area? Is that where you're talking about, or just kind of in general where your customers are?
No, just in general. I mean, we had 1.6 Sunday and Monday at our farm. So we've had plenty. You know, but again, I mean, it's drying out. It'll dry out pretty quickly, you know, as soon as it starts warming up, this ground just it'll get ready, you know, in time, and we can go. We've got 60% of our wheat in and 30% of our corn in, so we're well on our way already to getting our crop in the ground.
I should ask you, contracts all done now with SBNB?
Yeah, for the most part, we've got a few here and there if guys call, if they have a few open acres or they're looking and feel like they want to you know, maybe take advantage of some premium pricing on some of their acres, they can certainly call, and we've got a few acres we could do here and there, but for the most part, we feel really good at how we're sitting right now going into planting season. It was a great winter, and you know, guys were excited. We got a bunch of contracts in. Our sales are up 8% this year, so we're super happy about that. And yeah, things keep rocking and rolling.
All right, USAC stuff, pretty quiet. Anything going on there?
There's a lot going on in the world right now in soybeans, and so we've certainly had a lot of conversations about, you know, things that are happening in the soybean world, you know, we're just kind of watching and waiting and seeing what's all going to transpire with some of this stuff. Hopefully we start seeing some movement on some of the tariff percentages and things like that, you know, out of China. You know, for us as a company, we don't ship any soybeans to China, so that doesn't necessarily have much effect on us, but it certainly does in the world of price. China being our largest market, and you know, especially for soybeans in this region, you know, there's a very high percentage of those that end up over in China. And so these tariffs are something we're certainly keeping an eye on.
As far as the trade market in general, like just going abroad, are you guys still doing a bunch of that this year, or is it kind of limited this year because of everything that goes on or has been going on?
No, we definitely are. I mean, we're certainly getting a lot of questions. You know, for us, For us, quite honestly, Eric, some of the things, I mean, the customers are happy that CBOT price is coming down a little bit, obviously. Yeah. They're happy that the dollar is weakening a little bit. That's not typical for a, you know, a slow economy, but we've seen that. And so, for example, when I was just in Japan, you know, the yen was about 140 to 142 yen to the dollar. When I was there in January, it was 157. And so, you know, obviously they can buy more product with their yen when their yen gets stronger against the dollar. And so the customers are really happy about that, to see some of that trend. You know, they certainly have concern with all of the articles. Everything we ship is in containers. And when you have a trade war with, you know, our largest retail customer as well, and a lot of those ships, you know, you see a lot of articles and things out there right now on, you know, 40% of the ships coming from China are blank vessels. And that's a scary situation for some of our customers, just because, you know, we don't know where, you know, what container availability, all that kind of stuff. We certainly keep in very close contact with our steamship line representatives that we work with. You know, that's one of the neat things about our company. We work directly with steamship lines. We don't work through freight forwarders, so we have very good access to the people we need to have access to. And so far, they keep assuring us that we will have containers to ship our product. But those are just some of the things that are happening.
Real quick, before we run out, I got like 10 seconds here. Scott, appreciate you coming on today. How can folks get a hold of you at SB&B?
Hey, that's the easy part. Just give us a call, 701-347-4900, or check us out on the web at sb-b.com.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk again.